this week, celebrated my birthday, Friday, 61 years old, and I made it only by His, because I should have been dead a couple of times. I'm serious. I'm only alive because he has allowed that, and I am so blessed. And next week, it will be Nora and I's 36th wedding anniversary. And so I shared that with somebody. I was like, "Whoa, 36 years!" They said, "Like, back in, that's not the norm nowadays. You know, when you if you say anything over 10, people are like, you know." But 36 years, and yeah, go ahead, show that. That was us on June the 12th, 1986, where we became one, husband and wife. Amen. And so this is us yesterday, or a couple days ago, in the front of our new house. our God is so awesome. He knows where we're supposed to be. And so we're supposed to be right here. And so we're given granted occupancy. And so on my birthday, and so we started moving stuff in on my birthday, not a whole lot, but we started moving in, and we will close on Tuesday. And amen. I'm like I said, just so blessed, and I thank you for your prayers. And so this year I'm going like on year 6 being here at Palmer Church of God, and so I just just a lot of things going on. Everything happens for me in the month of June, right? My birthday, my anniversary, Father's Day, everything gets lumped into one, but I'm okay with that. Listen, this morning, I just want to speak to kind of like to the men here, and wives, please listen, and don't jab your husband in the ribs too hard, all right? I've seen that before. Did you hear what he said? So let's not have a lot of that this morning, all right? But there are major passages in God's words that speak of how husbands are responsibility are to our bride, to our wives. I say this, and I'm not afraid of, I don't feel like my man card's in jeopardy. I want you all to have successful marriages, and men, you are a part of that. You are the leaders in your household, all right? And so we're going to look at a couple of verses this morning. We'll share with that. What I share with you, I believe, promotes longevity in a relationship between husband and wife. And so how can we translate these things from the Bible into like real things right now? How do we make them applicable in our lives today? And so I'm going to read from Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to dive into your word and just make how you had those who put ink to parchment for a good reason. It was, as I've heard explained before, this is the choreography. This is what we're to read, and this is how we're to live our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that we do that. ask that you would be with us this morning. Help me be bold in what I say. And whatever I'm supposed to say, let it be just that and nothing else. In your name I pray. Amen. So this first thing I want to look at is this first part, a couple things. When a husband loves his wife, he gives her a sense of security. Now, I'm going to read that same passage to you from Eugene Peterson's The Message, all right? So, husbands, go out in love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words invoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant in holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. I just like the way that reads. It just says, hey, husbands, just love your wife with everything. Your love, husbands, should be authentic. It should be real. We love them as Christ loved us as we are. We are the bride, the church is. And we see how much the bride means to the groom. So much that he died on the cross for the bride. We're to love with, we're to love deliberately. We're to love for, have the same love that Christ has, a purpose in mind to present us as a perfect, as perfect before God. We're to love with unconditional love, just as we love our own bodies. When I tell you what, a wife knows, your bride knows. She knows when she's cherished, when she's treasured, and held in high regard by her husband. It gives her a secure, settled, and wonderful experience. There's nothing that will make your bride happier than for you husbands to deliberately love your wives intentionally, in a way that they say, in a way that, you know, like when you're walking into a store or whatever, and all of a sudden she just grabbed your hand. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like you said, hey, babe, hold my hand, or vice versa. It's like when you love your wife, she just like, hey, I want to be a part of you. You make my life secure. And the way that you love on me in front of everybody, oh man, that gives your bride, it gives your woman that sense of security that country western song, Stand By Your Man, you know. It gives a woman that sense of security when you're right there for them. Secondly, a husband loves his wife. When a husband loves his wife, he gives her a sense of intimacy. All right. 1 Peter 3:7 reads, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter tells husbands to live or dwell. In the King James Version, it says, and also says to dwell with. That word dwell, there's no other place in the Bible, in God's Word, where this dwell has its own meaning. This dwell, when you look it up and when you start studying the word and you have a tool like the concordance and you break it out, I will tell you, when you pull up the Strong's Concordance and you go to G4924 and look up this word, dwell, it means this. to dwell together, of domestic association, of intercourse of a husband and wife. You are to dwell with each other intimately, sexually. And you won't find that dwell anywhere else with that meaning in the Bible. When I first read that, I'm like, wow, because you're studying it and you're looking at each word, inductive studying, and you're like, man, I didn't know that it meant that. It's not like you say cool and that's cool, right? It has its own meaning, a special meaning. Scholars believe it means living a shared, intimate, involved life. One translator puts it like this: husbands, make a home for her at home. Our task is companionship, togetherness, and closeness. The home should be a retreat from everything else. A home should be a safe harbor place for, you know, wherever the world, whatever's going on out in the world, when you come home, that should be your place of refuge. That's when you say, oh, baby, I am so glad to see you. And likewise, it's a place where you come together and that you have peace with one another. Get away from the pressures of the world. Thirdly, when a husband loves his wife, he gives her a sense of identity. All right. Again, in 1 Peter 3:7, and where it says, what does it mean to dwell with your wife with the understanding? When a husband loves his wife with understanding, she senses he's deeply interested in her as a person. Not because of maybe the role that she plays in the household, not because she's your wife, not because she's the mother of your kids, not because maybe she's the one that handles the checkbook, all right? You love her. That understanding is between you and her as a person, not defined by a task or a role that she accomplishes with love. I would venture to say, now, that when we love our wives that way, it just draws them closer to us. Men, we've got to be intentional. That's the word I'm looking for. We've got to be intentional. We need to say, okay, put this device away. Honey, put your device away. Hey, how you doing? And she'll look at you like, wow. No, I'm serious. I want to know how you're doing. When we take time to do that, that's how we're going to know our mate. Lastly, a husband loves his wife. When he loves his wife, he gives her a sense of spirituality. That verse there, 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, husband, live your wives, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they're heirs with the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Husbands should honor their wives as a weaker vessel. That's what the Word of God says. We're heirs together. And I'm not going to go down that road as saying, you know, about the weaker vessel, all right? Okay, that's God's word, all right? The message, I like the way what Eugene Peterson says. He says, they lack some of your advantages, is the way he puts it. Yes, women, I know that you bore that kid, all right? You bore children, so weak is not part of your vocabulary. All right, that's not part of your DNA. There's no other man that can. There's no man that can ever do that. All right, so you're not weak in that way. There are many ways to approach this text, but we know the husband is the leader of the home. The husband is the leader of the home. Husbands, be leaders. Step up. Be leaders. Wives, let your husbands be the leader. It's biblical. In that respect, let me say this. Since a wife is in submission to her husband in a godly way, hello, let me say that again, in a godly way, in a godly way. Women, hear me. Being submissive to your husband, yes, but listen, if it's not in a godly way, then that's a whole different thing, all right? So, you know, getting beat on or anything else in that manner, being asked to do something that is not morally right, that's not what you're to be submissive to. The word says you need to be submissive in a godly way, all right? Submitting to one another. You ought to consider your bride's relationship as a wise as the weaker, not the stronger one. Just as the church is the bride, we have the groom. He's our leader, right? And this is, we're looking at this biblically. Husbands, you are the leaders. Wives, you are to follow your husbands, but not down a dirt road, okay? When it comes to our relationship with Christ, it doesn't matter because we are heirs together. As husband and wife, we share the spiritual intimacies and realities we have in the Word of God, in prayer, in fellowship. There's nothing more that will speak to your wife in a way that when you're saying, hey, we're going to be spiritually connected, it's for husbands, for you to take the lead, for you to say, hey, we're going to pray here. You know, in the morning, we're going to pray together. Sometime in the day, pray together, okay? I'm just saying. And husbands, it's on you to do that. Say, hey, come here. Come here for a minute. And don't use, granted, you pray over your meal, but don't count that, all right? that doesn't count. It's when you and your bride come together and spiritually, intimately saying, we're coming together to pray, to come before our Heavenly Father. And when you do that consistently, because otherwise you're like, oh, what's up with this? You know, this is the first time you've done this in a while. We need to be consistent, men. It's easy to follow when someone's being consistent in a way that glorifies our Heavenly Father and when we're glorifying our brides consistently. Not when we feel like it, but 24/7. We're to love our brides. And Peter warns us that if we don't take it seriously, that it'll affect our prayers. It'll affect our prayers. Come on, really? I mean, if you and your bride are in a way that's not really good, you're not treating her right. You're not honoring her. You're not respecting her. Because a wife will be submissive to her husband when he's respecting her. She'll follow him to the bitter end. Because you've consistently told her, hey, I love you. And you've meant it from the heart. It's not one of those just casual, hey, I love you. But if you're upset and you're angry and you're out of sorts, do you think that your prayers are just going to just go up and it says your prayers will be interrupted? It's like saying this, well, God, you know, thank you for all the stuff you've given me. Thank you for blessing me, because that's the way it sounds to him when you're not connected with your bride? And do you think he's going to honor that? The answer is no. I think Peter was saying this to his readers in this wonderful passage. He wants husbands and wives to dwell together as one in flesh. We're to share our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, and yes, our fears and failures. Men, let me tell you something. When you love and respect your wives, and the day didn't go the way that you thought it would, and you go and you say, and you tell them, hey, I don't think I did too good today. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm feeling about as low as I could ever feel. Do you not think that your bride will come to you with a heart of nothing but love and say, hey, baby, it's all right. I love you. I don't care how the world treated you today. Know that when you came home into this house, our home, our place of peace, but a woman will not do that unless you have been consistently being the man that you were supposed to have been. I want to share this. I read this about a husband and wife who had been together for some 50 years, and the whole 50 years they were kind of like out of sorts. If they weren't, they just didn't know how to be nice to one another. They're arguing and fussing, and nothing in their relationship spoke of love, but they've been together for 50 years. And their kids are like saying, Mom and Dad, we're going to give you an anniversary present. They bought their mom and dad a trip to a psychiatrist. They said, Mom and Dad, you need to go. You need help. So they went, but they argued about that. They said, well, who's going to drive us there? And I want to sit in this chair. And then even when they got into the office of the psychiatrist, they argued about who was going to share what first. Who's going to tell their side of the story? And this young doctor was like saying, man, I'm like the new guy at this, but after 15 minutes, man. So this is what he does. After 15 minutes, he gets up. And he goes to the woman and he gives her a kiss on the lips, like a Hollywood, like, I love you kiss. I imagine her eyes just went boom, but you know. And he looked over at the husband and says, you need to do this at least 3 times a week. He says, okay, I'll bring you here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This guy doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And let me tell you something, husbands. Your wife, your bride can tell if you're not getting it. If you're not loving on her 24/7, unconditionally, you might be married, but you're not living together in a God honoring relationship. God's people don't want who He put together to be the angst with one another. But men, you've got to step up and take the lead. Heavenly Father, this morning, Your word is anointing, refreshing, encouraging to both men, women, and children alike. And I know that you placed us together with our mates for a purpose. And Father, I pray for marriages with inside these walls and outside these walls. Because marriage is hard. It's so hard. But it's so rewarding. The fruits of always wanting to give unselfishly, putting the other higher than oneself. Father, I pray for the men, husbands, that they would be the leaders of their households as they were intended to be. In your name I pray. Amen.